Sibanye Stillwater plans to cut over 5,000 jobs at its loss-making Marikana operation, this in a bid to ensure the sustainability of the remaining shafts at the operation. The announcement does, however, come at a time when AMCU, which is the majority union in the platinum sector, has declared a dispute in the wage talks. The company's James Wellstead joins us in studio now to discuss what the restructuring process would mean for the company's growth moving forward. Thanks so much, James, for joining us.
Thanks,
this
Alicia.
Evening. Right at the top, I want to start off with the number 5,270 jobs on the line to be cut at the former Lonmin asset. Have we got the numbers right?
That's correct. I mean, obviously, it's subject to a Section 189 consultation with the stakeholders, being the unions and employees, where we hope to find alternatives to closure and job losses. But to be honest, I mean, these are old shafts. They've been running for 30, 40 years, and they've basically mined out their reserves. Mm. So there's very little alternatives at the moment.
So when it comes to those consultations then, where you say, you know, unions can suggest alternatives to save as many jobs as possible, is that, at the end of the day, a mere formality?
It isn't, and we've been successful in the past in these similar type of restructurings. For instance, in 2013 at our Beatrix mine, we entered into a similar process where there were, I think, 2,000 or 3,000 jobs at risk, and we ended up continuing those operations with the help of our stakeholders, and they're still running today. So, you know, that was a successful alternative that we found. And other examples I can think of at Cook, for instance, which weren't successful in the long term, but certainly saved jobs for a little while. But, we'll explore any alternatives. But.
Of course, this comes as the moratorium on retrenchments expires in December. You're removing duplicated jobs as it stands right now. How much has been done from your side to redirect those jobs to other areas of the business?
So these areas were actually highlighted already by Lonmin in 2017 as at risk. At the time, they said there were approximately 12,600 people who potentially could lose their jobs. Now, as part of the competition process that we went through, we agreed we'd review all of those projects and shafts, which we've done. Some of them we will continue. So, for instance, at 4B shaft, there are 2,700 people who will keep their jobs going forward. But unfortunately, these shafts are at the end of the life. Mm-hmm. And under Lonmin's previous plans, they would have completed some projects which would have absorbed those people from the older shafts. But unfortunately, because of the global financial crisis, the strikes that occurred in 2014 and other reasons, the capital wasn't invested or was unable to be invested, and now they can't be absorbed anymore.
Flash forward to today, we've got a rise in the commodity price cycle. How much cushion does a rising commodity price actually provide you, or is that irrelevant?
No, it certainly does, and that's why we have been able to, at some of the shafts, maintain those jobs and keep those jobs. But unfortunately, higher price, if there's no ore, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. So. At the end of the day, James, how much of a cost benefit are you expecting to derive from this? Because when companies venture into merger transactions, that is the aim, or part of the aim, at the end of the day.
Yeah, there were two different processes. So the rationalization that we're seeing now was due to, as I said, older mines and something that Lonmin embarked on. In terms of the merger itself, there are duplicate positions. There is rationalization of some of the shared services that provide services to the operations. And at the time, we identified about 890 people. That includes the executive board, obviously, and a lot of duplicate management positions, etc. And we estimate about 730 million rand a year of savings. Now, in the last year or so, Lonmin's incurred losses of over a billion rand. So all we're doing is really bringing it back to break even and trying to make it sustainable. Yeah. With the higher prices, we may bring it back into profitability, but it's been in a very difficult place.
Talk us through some of the communications you are having with unions like AMCU right now, and the extent to which your message is being heard and the extent to which it simply isn't.
Well, I mean, obviously, we are engaging with AMCU and the other unions in wage negotiations, which, as you know, started in July. And we do communicate regularly through various channels with our employees. But this is a very tough decision. It's not easy for us to make, and it obviously has a huge impact on many people's lives. So we'll continue to engage. We'll continue to look for alternatives. But it is a difficult time for everyone.
This restructuring announcement coming in the middle of, as you've highlighted, wage talks. How much of a spanner in the works do you foresee this throwing on that end?
Yeah, it's not ideal because they are two separate processes, and it would have been easier to obviously focus on one process at a time. But as you know, we concluded the transaction in June. In terms of the agreement we had with the ComCom or competition authorities, there's a six-month moratorium on retrenchments. We've done the review of all of the ops, and now it's a 60-day mandatory consultation, and then we can restructure in the new year. If we don't do that, obviously we're going to incur losses for a lot longer, and that threatens the sustainability of the business and other jobs.
Absolutely. When it comes to the wage negotiations, I know that a separate discussion that's happening right now. Where do things sit?
At the moment, we still are quite a long way away from each other. In fact, AMCU's declared a dispute at both our Rustenburg and our Lonmin operations. We are engaging through and using internal dispute resolution processes to try and find an agreement that's fair and sustainable. But it's still quite early in the process.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, James. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, Sibanye-Stillwater's James Wellstead.